This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
It just makes me feel good. No matter how old you get, a compliment's a compliment. It makes me feel good, man. Words of affirmation.
Who complimented you, Dubs?
Hayden Wallen just told me that I am, quote, the nicest guy at the station.
You?
Yep.
That's not true. Hayden's sucking up.
Who's nicer than me? He had some words for you, too.
Well, I reiterate what my message I delivered him earlier. Move your ass, son. Nicest guy at the station? Cameron Black from Talk Sports.
He's pretty nice.
Without a doubt.
He's pretty nice.
He's just there. He has no peer.
Oh, well, he has. I'm a peer in terms of niceness.
No, you're nice the same way Cody McClure is nice. Kind of a jerk, but always funny. Fun to hang out with. But Cam Black's the kind of guy, if he comes in there and, you know, you're kind of up in your feelings, you're sad about something, Cameron Black will sit down, put an arm around you, and, you know, get you through a bad time, man.
He's never put an arm around me. It is Adam Hickman's last day on The Drive.
What?
Hickman's last day. He's moving on.
Where's he moving to? You graduating? You leaving us? Leaving the nest, kid?
I mean, it's fun. You see these kids. They come in green, wet behind the ears, don't know what they're doing. And
we get them all trained up.
Coach them up a little bit, and then they spread their wings and fly.
Is he falling in Panzeca's footsteps, maybe going over to the Nashville market? You know, doing big things? Is he, like our old comrade Trey? Is he moving on to, you know?
He's staying in the family. He's going to Three and Out weekday mornings from 7 to 10 right here on Fan Run Radio. Going to do the morning thing. Hickman, is that going to be hard for you?
I can get
up. Wait a minute. Three and Out.
Three and Pout.
What? They've already got like four people.
Don't let them change your beautiful spirit, Hickman.
I won't.
You're a positive guy. You're fun to be around. We've enjoyed having you around. Don't let those Don't let those negative Nancys get their claws into you. Don't get pessimistic and cynical on us, Hickman. Life is beautiful. You're young. You got the world in front of you, the future in front of you. The world is your oyster. Don't let Nate Hodges, and especially Davey Hudson, convince you that this life isn't wonderful.
Don't worry, Bear. Russell and you will always be my radio mentors for as long as I shall live.
I would hope so. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, has Houston got some fishing contests he's got to go to? I just don't get this.
Well, no, they're
overstaffed.
Hold on. Let me explain it to you. It's the same reason the legends of Lindsay have thrown in the towel. And I find this a little bit soft. And I will come at them a little bit. This would not have happened back in my day. But people were wondering, where were the legends of Lindsay, the student heckling section, last week in the Kentucky series? And basically, UT went through finals this week. School is over. And so all these kids are going home. And Alex, the guy who's been helping Three and Out with their podcast and everything in the mornings, is going home. And so Hickman lives here. He's an East Tennessee boy. And we've got Guy Patterson III. He's kind of stepped up and helped out. And Hickman's doing 2 days a week with us. And so they're going to move him up to, I don't know if he's moving up. It's actually kind of a lateral move at best. Maybe even a step down. I mean, it was really kind of, when you think about it, Bear, it was a very team player move of Hickman to do. When they ask you, it's like, you want to go from The Drive to Talk Sports? I mean, ugh. And what's your response
That's just slumming, going from The Drive to Talk Sports. I mean, John Reed and his crew of miscreants.
No more sleep until
then. Not Talk Sports. I'm sorry.
Three and Pout. Yeah. I mean, those guys are, they're buffoons. You know, they get away with a lot. Most people are asleep and miss some of the just cold takes that they throw out there. Has Nate ever gotten over Chadwell not getting the job?
I don't know. It's a sore subject. I try not to bring it up if I'm ever around him.
All right. Well,
it's like your friend with the one who got away, and he finally starts to come out of his post-breakup depression or whatever, and you don't want to bring it up to him ever, right? You just want to get him out of that mindset. You don't want to mention her around him because you know that he's fragile and he could just go right back into the blues. You want to get him back out there and dating and hanging out and realizing that it's a big sea with many fish in it. That's the kind of way I look at Nate. He went through his emo phase when Heupel got hired. He started dyeing his hair jet black and wearing lots of makeup.
Eyeshadow.
Yeah, eyeshadow, and slitting his wrist and listening to Dashboard Confessional. And now and now he's kind of getting back to his normal self. You know, I flip on the Periscope. It's not Periscope anymore, whatever we call it, the video stream in the morning, and he's wearing golf shirts again. He's not smiling. I mean, he's still hurt. There's still a darkness in his soul that may never fully be healed, but he's starting to pop out of it, and maybe some of the positivity we've injected into Hickman will rub off on him, get him over the hump here.
I mean, one could hope he won't forget all the lessons he learned.
I'm still down for that tanning competition this summer, Bear. So
Russell's kind of put the kibosh on that. Something about the whole cancer thing. He thinks I might be high risk now. We'll see.
I mean, I'm no doctor. I guess it's your body. You can do what you want.
I mean, I kind of checked with the oncologist after you said something when I saw him yesterday, and he may or may not have said it sounds like you've got a pretty good head on your shoulders.
Yep. All but, to do over again. Maybe I just go try and do the medical school thing. I think I could have been a good doctor.
It seemed to work out well for your old man and your brother.
I mean, in some way, they don't have their own radio show, you know?
Yeah, but they save lives.
What do you think we're doing here? If it not for us, all these dullards that are listening to 3 and Pout in the morning would have jumped off the Gay Street Bridge a couple of years ago. We're the one who talked them down. I say we probably save more lives than any doctor that's ever been.
That's a good point, Russ. Yeah.
It's not my style to pat myself on the back.
School's for dummies. I mean, well, you know.
I don't think I could have done the organic chemistry. That's where I was able in school to just kind of float by on just sheer talent and instinct.
Good looks.
Yeah. Charm people. And like, but once it got to, I remember chemistry, and once it got to
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I just couldn't hang. I was like,
what's the phrase you use? I would have never been able to do gross human anatomy.
See, I feel like I can remember all the parts, the leg bones, hip connected to the hip bone.
The lab side of anatomy classes are easy.
Yeah, no. It's no, that's what I'm talking about. Dissecting, I mean, you know how skittish I am, Russ. Could you see me dissecting a cadaver?
No, you're a big wuss. But I think I could handle all the basics of it. But once you start talking about, the hydrogen molecule bonds to the – that stuff just never computed to me. I have no –
So, I mean, like, what – I mean, there's got to be times where a couple members of your family obviously are physicians. I mean, do they just – you're not included in their conversations? Because they're that much smarter than you about that stuff?
I mean, I don't even look at it as, like, smart. That's what they do. It would be like me trying to discuss Tennessee's recruiting strategy with them. I mean, they would be just as lost, right? I mean, we've all got our areas of expertise. It would be like me trying to explain to them how to pace a segment, how to lay out a radio show, how to build to something, how to structure an interview and stuff. It's something they don't think about that I think about all the time. It's just different.
Yeah. I mean, what, you know, I mean, sure, we may not know about the vena cava and the pulmonary artery and the chambers of the heart, but can they break down a two deep like me and you can? I don't think so.
Hell no, they can't.
Couple of dullards.
Who are you talking about right now?
I have no idea. Doctors in general.
All right. We got a humdinger this afternoon. Widespread Panzeca is on the show today. Lucas Panzeca from The Zone in Nashville is good to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans draft and a couple of other things as well. But first, I want to start with this, ladies and gentlemen. Bear, this is a very kind of a scary thing we've got going on this weekend with this Chinese rocket. You been keeping up with this?
Have I been keeping up with it? I've barely slept. I've been at the drive's science desk and rocketry desk for, I mean, I heard about this last weekend. It's a 23, or I can't remember the dimensions. It's huge.
It is they 10 have, stories tall and weighs 23 ton.
It seems like that would be a problem if it landed in your front yard.
Piece of a rocket launched by China in late April is expected to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere sometime late Saturday or early Sunday, according to experts. The 98-foot-long, 20-ton section of China's Long March 5B rocket is tumbling through space in an uncontrolled orbit at 18,000 miles per hour. After blasting off last month, carrying part of the country's new space station. And while it's common for pieces of rockets to fall back to Earth, this particular section has drawn concern because of its lack of control. And that means experts aren't sure where it will come down. It could come down anywhere. There's a tiny chance the debris could hit New York, Los Angeles, Madrid, Rio de Janeiro, the Nigerian capital of Abuja, or Beijing. That's anywhere in the whole globe. It could hit anywhere. It could hit here. I could be at Stately Smith Manor on Saturday night, just enjoying a quiet evening at home with the missus, when all of a sudden, boom, no more Stately Smith Manor, no more Dubs, no more drive, everything. The entire world.
Well, it'd still be a drive. I would inherit it in the will.
I guess so, but.
I mean, would it really be any good without you? Probably not. But I digress. What's most likely to happen, everybody pump the brakes. The Pacific Ocean is the largest body of water on the planet. Odds are is that it will land somewhere in the Pacific.
Well, so we're just going with the biggest thing, the greatest area of anything in Earth. And I mean, this is basically, can we bet on this on FanDuel? Can we get odds on where this is going to land, like by continent or ocean?
I'm sure. I mean, it's FanDuel, dude. They'll take action on anything.
Incredible. Let's go ahead. Let's go. You want the Pacific Ocean?
Get on the
ocean?
App.
You want the Pacific Ocean? That's your bet?
Yeah, I mean, that's a safe bet. I wonder if you – I'm sure that – you know FanDuel. They're going to have a parlay on it.
What do you think, Adam? I'll give you an ocean or two continents.
I'm going ocean.
What do you want, the Atlantic? That's the second biggest, right?
I think so. I'll go Atlantic.
I'm going Asia or Europe.
I changed my answer. It's going in the Indian Ocean.
The Indian Ocean, but that's the smaller ocean,
I thought
right?
about the Indian Ocean.
That's a good ocean.
It just feels like it makes sense.
What?
Like, I mean, Pacific and Atlantic, those are two mainstream oceans. It's not going to go in the mainstream oceans.
What, do you think the rocket has a preference on what ocean it lands
Things
in? It's at the mercy of science, dude. It's going to land wherever it lands.
Preferably, the best place would be in the backyard here at the Fan Run Radio Studios.
No, because the transmitter's back there, we'd be off the air.
I mean, if it landed in the right spot out there, we'd be golden.
Do you think Nate has some kind of insurance to where if something like that happened, we could...
Hell no.
We could build back and get some awesome equipment, maybe up our FM coverage signal?
No.
You don't think he has any insurance?
Not that would protect us against
an act of God,
the Chinese Kai Dong or whatever it's called, rocket landing in the back 40.
One of them Kai Dong rockets, man. Those things land on your radio station, you're screwed. Get that Kai Dong rocket.
Well, I mean, how hot do you think that thing's going to come screaming in at? A couple thousand degrees.
Do what?
How hot do you think that thing's coming in on?
I don't know.
I'd say be hot, man.
10-story piece of space debris. I'd say you don't want to be anywhere near where it lands.
Yeah.
What are the chances, man? I mean, we're going to feel really bad if we come back Monday and it's landed in some major metropolitan area and killed a bunch of people.
Either that or in the great northern forests of Siberia, and it starts a wildfire that gets out of control.
So here's the question.
It chokes the smoke and soot, choke out the sun for the next year, and we go into some kind of nuclear winter, Russ.
At a certain point, they probably will know where it's going to land, right? Because they're tracking this thing, and at a certain point, once it enters the atmosphere, they'll probably be able to figure out generally where it's headed, right, within a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, say just hypothetically, it was heading towards New York City.
Nothing they can do, man.
Well, yeah, there is something you could do. I mean, you could send out a mass text or something. You could have
a mass text.
Yes.
Okay, Russ.
Well, we have it for tornadoes. I mean, we've had a week to prepare for this, right? I mean, I know
the odds. It's going to come screaming in at several thousand miles an hour.
Yeah.
But burning.
But like I just said, at a certain point, scientists will be able to track it and have a pretty good idea of where it's headed. And I don't know what that is, whether it's 3 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But if it's over 3 minutes and you're prepared, you could zap out a text just like the tornado thing. I mean, that tornado thing. You ever had that thing go off in the middle of the night? Scare the bejesus out of you?
Yeah. I've actually heard a tornado. Sounds like a freight train.
And what would you... That's what I hear. And what would you... You'd have maybe a minute or two to get your butt down to the basement and hunker down, right? I mean, that's...
I mean, what would you rather try and take your chances with? A tornado in a storm shelter or one of these Kai Dung rockets?
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how to utilize technology the best. And I'm saying if it's headed towards New York City, San Francisco or something, and they get me a text, even if I've got two minutes, I feel like if I got a text message right now, sitting here in the Fan Run Studios saying there is a big chunk of debris that could obliterate the entire radio station, and it's going to hit the radio station in 2 minutes. That's plenty of time for me to get in my car and drive away, or even just sprint up the hill far enough away to where I'm not going to get hit. Right. So that's all I'm saying. I know some people probably wouldn't get it. Some people be asleep or something, but I think it's worth a try. Save lives. If it saves just one life, it was worth it, Bear. That's what I always say. If it saves just one life, it's worth it. Do whatever you have to do. I'll go wherever I have to go. I'll talk to whoever I have to talk to. Because that's what we're doing here on The Drive, saving lives. Tony Vitello and the Base Falls getting set to get after it. Break out the broomsticks. One game at a time, fellas. Let's get this first game tonight. Let's get cheese going on the hill. Baseball's Mizzou, 6:30 tonight. Game one of a three-game pivotal SEC Eastern Division Series. For Vitellico, Ed, the Baseball Vols, we will talk about it this afternoon. Stay with us. Open up the phone lines here. Open lines this hour. You want to jump in, take a shot. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. beautiful Friday afternoon in East Tennessee, getting ready for a glorious weekend, hopefully. Hopefully Tennessee will find baseball glory in Missouri. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a minute. I feel like Jimbo Fisher has to retire now. I feel like he has to go away, Bear. Did you see Nick Saban just absolutely swallow his soul yesterday?
Saw something about it.
You didn't see the tape?
No, I haven't seen the tape yet.
You got to go. You got to go see the tape. Oh man, just so dismissive. And Saban has really ruined the great game of college football. But hopefully, I don't want the guy to die. But hopefully, he's not going to get bored. But just hope he retires soon, man. I mean, he's made college football boring. But
he's Saban?
Yeah,
he's the Antichrist.
But I don't want to go that far. Anyway, he's at some event yesterday, and he's talking to the media. And Jimbo Fisher earlier this week, in some sort of interview setting, I guess they were just asking him about the next step. You know, they had a really good, what were they, 9-1 last year? Something like that? I mean, they were really good. 8-2? Yeah, I mean, they were good. And they're asking him what's the next step there? And he says, well, he's talking about it. And how do you catch up to Alabama playing in the SEC West? And he's like, well, I think that we can't catch up with them. We're right there. We can get after them. We can beat them, and we can beat them consistently. What you would expect the guy to say, whether he believes it or not, that's what you got to say, right? You're making $7 million a year. You just had your best season. You've built that thing up, and now it's time to go and compete for championships. And so the media is with Saban, and this girl asks him, what do you think about Jimbo's comments? He says that he thinks they can beat you now. And Saban just looks at this girl, and with this smirk, this laugh of just complete dismissive disbelief, goes, in what, golf? Oh, man. Oh, dude. Just showing no concern. And then Saban, after that, and I think he legitimately he was confused. He's like, is he talking about football? Jimbo Fisher, like that guy that I used to hire to run my offense and go get my dry cleaning. That Jimbo Fisher thinks he's going to beat me? The guy whose ass I kick on the reg? That guy? And then after he was like, well, he's done a good job building their program, good players, and it's always tough in the SEC, blah, blah, blah. But, oh, man, he just owned him, dude. Just owned him. And it's true. It's like, does anybody think that Jimbo Fisher, as good as he's doing well there, right? We all think he's building up. That's why you hire him. They've got a good program. They're just as good as Florida with Mullen or Georgia with Kirby, or, you know, maybe not quite to the Clemson Dabo level, but I think they've passed LSU. They beat them last year. That's a good program. Jimbo Fisher, he's a good coach. He's got a natty. But he's nowhere near. Not only is he nowhere competing with Saban, Saban just Jimbo, you beat me? What, in golf? We're playing tiddlywinks? I know he's not talking about football. And everybody knows it's true. That's what he's done to the sport, man. It's not fun anymore. There's no question that Alabama's going to smoke Texas A&M. Yeah, they're going to smoke everybody.
That's just what they do. I mean, talk about beating them. You try beating them once. Is Jimbo beating Saban?
No, nobody. No, none of his former assistants have beaten him. Aren't you tired of seeing that graphic kick? At least we don't have to see that anymore. Thank God we don't have to see that anymore. We had to do that twice, man. We had to do 6 years of that with two different coaches. That stupid graphic. Nick Saban, a perfect 36-0 against his former assistants. So stupid, man.
Yeah.
He'll probably retire undefeated against all his assistants. I don't see any of those guys beating him. Now, dumbass Pruitt's out of the league, so it's just Kirby and Jimbo, I guess. Who would you take if you're starting a program from scratch? You've got to build it up, and you're in the SEC. whether you're at Tennessee, Texas A&M, Florida, wherever, you've got your choice. Who's the best coach in the league? And we're just going to pretend Nick Saban doesn't exist since he's not human. Jimbo Fisher, Dan Mullen, Kirby Stupid. I don't think anybody's taking Ogeron, right? Even though he's got a natty. Kiffin?
No.
I still think you got to go Jimbo, right?
Probably. Maybe Mullen, but he's never really won anything.
Yeah, I'd probably go Jimbo, Mullen, Kirby. Or maybe Jimbo, Mullen, Lane. I don't know. The talent, the depth of coaching talent in this league, I feel like has leveled off a little bit, largely because Saban's run off some pretty good coaches through the years. But I don't feel like that depth, and maybe that's a good thing for us. Maybe,
I mean, he ran Urban Meyer out of the league, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the hill is not quite so steep to climb for Tennessee and Josh Heupel moving forward. But I still think Heupel probably is going to – you see some of these lists come out over the summer, probably going to rank down towards the bottom of most of these things. But he's the new kid on block. He's the new kid on the block, no doubt. So we're
I don't know. I mean, there's a power, definite power gap between Saban and the rest of the league. I mean, it's not like Saban's some kind of damn genius. He just cheats better than everybody else and gets away with it.
I think that's oversimplifying it. He certainly cheats, but everybody
else. He's nothing without his players.
Yeah, everybody else does. He does it better than he. Like you said, he does it better than everybody else, but I think part of that is he outworks people. I don't think...
No, he outworks people. He's got that whole damn state bamboozled.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been able to do that if he hadn't gone to LSU and outworked everybody, right? Because those were the days when he got there at around the turn of the century 20 years ago, and nobody knew who he was. And he was just this guy who was a relentless workaholic who grinded up his assistants and nobody wanted to work for him because he wouldn't give him any time off. Remember that narrative when he was at LSU, he couldn't keep assistants and he had to replace five or six guys every single year.
He still does.
And Tennessee, it's gotten a little bit better because people know what to expect there. But the only reason he's replacing them now is because people are coming and hiring his guys to be head coaches and coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see many of those guys voluntarily leaving Nick Saban's staff, not as many as you did at LSU. But when he went to LSU, that was back. Spurrier would go and play golf like during the season, remember? And Fulmer would send his coaches home for dinner. They'd be clearing out the building 8 or 9 p.m. And here comes Nick Saban, and I'm sleeping in the office. We open at 6 a.m., and we leave when the job is done. If that's 1 in the morning, then that's 1 in the morning. That's just what we do. And if you have to sleep on a blow-up mattress in your office, then by God, that's what you have to do. And if you're not willing to do it, then I'm going to fire you and find somebody who will. And he was able to outwork everybody, and I'm sure they were doing what everybody else is doing in recruiting as well as far as extra benefits and things like that. But he was smart enough not to get caught at LSU. He's been smart enough not to get caught at Alabama. And now he's kind of at that same spot where John Calipari is in basketball, where is he cheating? Does he cheat? Does he have to cheat? I don't know. Does it really matter? He has positioned himself as this conduit to the NFL, just as Calipari has positioned himself as this conduit to the NBA, where players just – the best players are always going to go there because the best players are not interested in the things we're interested in, pageantry, color, tradition, things like that. They simply want to go to the place that gives them the highest chance to get to professional football or basketball.
Sure.
And so that's what they do. And Saban and Calipari probably don't have to grind quite as hard as they did when they're coming up. Probably don't have to cut as many corners as they did from a rule breaking standpoint coming up, because they've already put in that work. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point. They're going to get their share of those players that they want. And it's frustrating for everybody else, but boy, I mean, Saban is the conversation. That's going to be the conversation this offseason. How do we get college football to be fun again?
Make Saban retire.
Well, you can't do that. So the conversation turns to opening up the playoff. You know what's interesting? You see these top five, these way too early top 25s come out, and it's all the same. Oklahoma's
only
number
one. Only
the names
have changed.
No, the names haven't changed. The names are the same. It's all the same. It's Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, maybe Georgia, right? It's those five schools every single year. It's been that way for 5 years now. It's going to be that way for five more years unless you open up the playoff and expand it a little bit. So that's probably what they're going to do. I think that's a good idea. Variety is the spice of life. Even if teams 7 and 8 don't have a realistic chance of beating teams 1 and 2, at least they're there. And at least the conversation is a little bit different rather than just talking about these same 4 or 5 teams every single year, which gets really old. And it's not good for the game, man. It's not good for the game to have the same conversations over and over and over again. You're going to want to talk, and you want to have something different to talk about. Otherwise, people stop caring. People stop tuning in. I think college football has seen a little bit of that.
Absolutely, we have.
John in the text box says, what sit-down restaurant provides the best free bread?
Sit-down. I'll have to go with Chesapeake's.
Beat me to it, so I'm going to say close second, Cheesecake Factory.
You know what?
Never had there. Never been there.
I've never been there either.
The butter that they give you is so cool. It's like individually packaged like a little candy bar, and then you just got to unwrap it and put it on your bread.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
I've kind of had that pretty much my entire life.
The Texas Roadhouse has to be in this conversation.
Solely just because of their butter, right?
That cinnamon butter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, their steaks, their salads, their sandwiches, whatever, I can take it or leave it. Unless they want to cut the check, then it's the greatest thing ever. But that bread, man, that cinnamon butter, so soft and melty.
Could eat it with a spoon.
I'm not big into the cinnamon butter.
Should cinnamon butter go on the list of awesome things that Bear hates?
No, I don't feel like everybody likes cinnamon butter.
I know you don't, but I don't think you're the best gauge of what everybody else likes, as evidenced by the list of awesome things that Bear hates.
Kind of feel like you're painting with a very broad brush, Russ.
No, it's actually very narrow. Usual. It's just you. I think that the Chesapeake's, the whole Calhoun, the Copper Cellar family of restaurants, because it's the same. They generally do that. They have the variety. You'll get some cornbread. You'll get a garlic roll. You'll get a biscuit.
Bran muffin.
Oh.
Mm, great.
It's pretty strong. Olive Garden breadsticks, I can dig it. I'm not going to put them in the upper echelon because I feel like you have to add butter to this equation.
Okay. That's like plain old salted butter in my mind.
I feel like elite restaurant bread comes with butter that you're spreading. And Hickman, I don't know about this Cheesecake Factory stuff. I feel like great restaurant bread has butter it's in one of those tubs, man. You shouldn't be peeling off the package. I feel like that's buffet stuff, man. I feel like that's small time. I want fresh
butter. It looks so
butter.
Fancy, though. Like the bread
you're
is
easily
like out
amused.
Of this world.
Does it taste any better?
I love the taste. And I think the packaged butter like that, like little individual like Snicker bars or candy bars, oh, so good. Probably top three best butter I've ever had in my life.
Tony Vitellico Plain says, if that rocket hits Fan Run property, the whole area is gone.
That's pretty much what I'm thinking.
Which leads me to believe, even if you knew it was coming, Russell, do you think you could get up that hill out there fast enough before it hit?
I feel like if you give me 2 minutes, I need 2 minutes. If you give me a minute, that might not be a – actually, man, I'd be up that hill. I could get behind a building. I could get some good cover in a minute. I need at least 60 seconds. Gone in 60 seconds. That's what I need. Adam, you're in good physical condition. I think you'd make it with me. Bear, I think you need a couple minutes, buddy. I think you're a little hobbled. You're not in your prime.
No, I'm down right now. Not out. I'm a little down.
I feel like you would need a 3-minute warning to escape the wrath of the rocket.
I don't know. I can move pretty fast for a big guy.
Well, and this is just saying, this is just assuming we get the warning and we're just for ourselves. There are no elderly or children involved here, right?
Right. Because
then, at that point, if you're responsible for others, unless you're just leaving them behind.
that'd be a great time for the bystander effect to come into play. Eh, somebody else will help them.
It's good. It's good, Hickman.
You don't survive stuff like that with that mindset.
Kenny on Twitter says, everyone definitely loves cinnamon butter. DR Vol says, it should be on the list. Even diabetics love cinnamon butter, despite what it does to them. Put it on the list. Scott in North Carolina says, add cinnamon butter to the list. Who doesn't like it besides Bear? Yes, immediately. Three people calling it for it to be added to the list.
Put a poll in the field first. I don't think it's as popular as you cinnamon lovers think it is.
Just cinnamon is do you like cinnamon butter, yes or no?
Yeah. It's a garbage condiment.
Oh, I think you're going to get housed on this one. At what point does it go on the list? Does it have to be 90%, 80%?
75%, I would say.
Split the difference, 75%.
Have to be 80. B minus.
We'll go 77%. How about that? 77.5%. All right, stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Thirteen votes cast at Fox Sports Knox. 1% of precincts reporting. 13 votes cast. Is cinnamon butter delicious? 13 votes cast. 100% of the audience says yes.
Still early. Still early.
Bear, you got to work your burner accounts, bud. You got to work your burner accounts to get to that 13% threshold.
I'll get there. Don't you worry about it, buddy.
I'm going and penciling this in. Cinnamon butter is gross.
Yeah, it's just nasty.
This is up there, bro. Like some of the because some of the other things that are on your list, key lime pie, strawberries. I mean, these are universally beloved things, but I'm aware that some people find them not so great. Cinnamon butter is just awesome, dude. You're the only person I have ever come across that
it's
doesn't think
gross
it's delicious.
To me, man. Sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. I'm just saying that, I mean, you stand
alone.
I've
got a sophisticated palate. I'm not a slack-jawed yokel the way you guys are. Easily amused every new bangle and bobble.
Bear looks down at us through his nose and his ivory tower as he tilts back his fourth 20-ounce Pepsi of the day.
Shut up.
You peasants and your cinnamon butter. 100%. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. We're up to 55 votes cast. You found a couple, Bear. 90.9%.
Yes. This is gross. I would just prefer regular butter. That's like people that put sugar in their grits. That's disgusting.
DR Vol says Bear will have his Vol Nug minions stuff the ballot. That's a good idea, Bear.
Nah.
I'd say even those idiots over there probably vote yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch your step.
Oh, I'm sorry. all the highly intelligent people who definitely don't live in their grandmother's basement, definitely have high-paying jobs and certainly are educated, those folks over at Volnux will definitely be voting yes. Cinnamon butter is delicious.
You cross those guys, you make fun of those guys at your own risk, dude.
Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. You know I love the message boards. The next bad message board I log on to will be the first.
You're a little disrespectful to my buddies. A little out of line, a little out of order. Yeah.
Brad is next. Good afternoon, Brad. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Barry, what the hell's wrong with you, dude? You don't like the cinnamon butter?
What are you talking about? What? I don't like cinnamon butter on bread. I just like regular old-fashioned butter. The hell's wrong? What the hell's wrong with you?
It's the worst take ever.
No, it's not. It's not even in my top 10 worst takes ever.
You're the only person I've ever heard say that.
I just think it's kind of gross. I like my bread with just a good salty, salted butter.
I will give you this. The Calhoun's bread is pretty dang good.
The bran muffins with a little bit of butter on there.
I kind of like favorite. The garlic roll. But there is a place I want to say. I was talking about sit-down restaurants with bread. There's only two of them, I think. One of them is in Branson, Missouri, and the other one is in Orange Beach, Alabama. It's called Lambert's, home of the Throne Roll. And you'd be sitting down at your table, and all you got to do is raise your hand, and there's a guy going around with a cart, and it doesn't matter if he's 10 feet away or 50 feet away. The guy will grab a roll and chuck it across the restaurant, and it's your job to catch the roll. And sometimes you catch it, sometimes you don't, sometimes you catch half and it disintegrates. But it's one of the best dinner rolls ever. I mean, the things are as big as a softball.
I'll have to go to Branson sometime to try it. Lambert's Throne Roll. It got me thinking. Love me a good yeast roll, man. I hope that the did we talk about this earlier, Bear? Did they say Golden Corral's going the way of the buffalo? Right? COVID killed the Golden Corral.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to go to get delicious, fluffy yeast rolls?
Any number of restaurants.
Where?
Well, Texas Roadhouse.
No, it's that's different though. You know what I'm talking about? That fluffy butter.
What's the place called? I'm banned from it. Charlie's.
Oh, Charlie's. Those are delicious.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I might have to go to O'Charlie's just for some bread tonight.
Hey, grab me a couple and drop them off to me.
Good stuff, Brad. Anything else, my man?
Just on the way out the door, I wanted to know if Bear has changed his tune from yesterday when he had that take about backing up or always knowing that Garantano was the bust or not.
So, yeah. Well, you know what? Get out of here. Get out of here. Get him out. Gone.
Oh, man. Go ahead. Go on record about Taven Jackson right now, Bear. Is he going to be good or not?
Who the hell knows? I want to say yeah, but who knows, man?
Well, that's not a good comparison because he's highly touted, but he's not as highly touted as Garantano. Do we have any 5-stars next year? Do we have any?
We have 3 commitments total for next year.
About for like this class, guys who are going to be arriving now.
No, we lost them all. I'm almost 100% sure about that.
I don't think we had it. Dylan Brooks was the only one that was going to be a 5-star. All right, how about that? Huntley Hatfield, Bear. Is he going to be all he's cracked up to be?
Yes.
One and done. Gone. Lottery pick.
Yeah. The chances are better that he's that than not. All signs point to yes. Yes.
I had a guy on staff who was on Butch's staff tell me in 2016, and I remember this because it was the week of the Florida game, and Tennessee broke the streak in the Smoky Grays, right? And Dobbs mm-hmm. was playing pretty good. And this guy told me, I asked him about Garantano because that was his redshirt freshman year. And he said, oh, man, this kid is the real deal. He's so much better than Dobbs. He said he's a practice
superstar.
He said it wouldn't surprise me if he beat Dobbs out that year. He said, I don't think he's going to redshirt. He's going to play. If Dobbs gets hurt or has a rough game or something, they're going to play Garantano. And I was just thinking, oh, man, this guy's going to be awesome. This guy's going to be awesome.
And he wasn't.
No, he was not. D.R. Vall is next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall.
That's the one thing we have as Tennessee fans, Russ. Well, the next guy coming in is going to kill it for us.
There's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow, D.R. Vall.
That's what we got to live for because the present sucks, I guess. What about the Cheddar Bay Biscuit, the Red Lobster? The only good thing
Ooh!
They have there.
Cheddar, the Captain's Biscuits. Cheddar Bay Biscuits at Red Lobster.
I mean, I can demolish those things. And Brad, what he was talking about, I live about an hour and a half from that restaurant. And we went one time, and I held my hand up for the kid to throw it, and he slung it across the room and drilled this poor teenage girl in her face with it. I mean, hot roll, it burned you with grease.
Oh, no.
And it knocked her glasses off.
What?
The Coke went all over. And he never went and apologized, ever. That's a dangerous place to eat. You want to sit by the windows because that way you're not getting drilled by rolls. But that's an entertaining place you need to take the kids to for sure.
Oh, yeah, until somebody, some pimple-faced 17-year-old hits my kid in the face with a scalding hot roll and blisters his cheek.
Get him a football helmet with a visor. He'll be fine.
And I'm mashing that kid's face into a grill back in the back.
Just imagine JG working there. You'll have a good day.
Holy Lord.
The cheap shots are coming fast and furious now.
Uncalled for, D.R. Vall. The guy's gone. He tried his best while he was here. It's not his fault. Pruitt kept trotting him out there. What point do you let it go, man? You got to let it go. Got to move on. Hashtag move on. Well, Bear, yesterday about this time we were knee-deep in the wrist slitter conversation, as you dubbed it.
I don't think we really dug in deep enough yesterday.
I think we dug in plenty deep.
Time in a bottle? We didn't mention that one.
How about we do the other side? How about we do most uplifting, most happy songs? What's the opposite of a wrist slitter?
Yeah, something like Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac, maybe.
A rib tickler. Yeah, Fleetwood Mac, they had Don't Stop and Landslide, two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. And some bangers.
All right, we'll take your suggestions for happiest tunes of all
Happy
time.
Happy by Pharrell?
I prefer Happy by Rolling Stones. Off Exile Main Street, Keith Richards singing lead vocals on that one. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hickman will have your top four at four when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.